This week in the podcast for all ages comics, a squirrel who is a ninja, Teen Titans, Krusty, the Fab Four, and real life.
Hey, hey, and welcome to Daddy Mojo. It's the podcast where we'll talk about parenting, all-age comic books, toys, and more. Now, here's your host, Trey Burley.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast. This week, we are going to talk about the new all-ages comics for the week of February 21st, 2018. And this is really a great week. There's such a great variety of new original graphic novels, trade paperbacks, and monthly comics that there really is something for everybody. As young as, I'll say, seven, one of the graphic novels we're going to talk about. We'll do that in just a minute. This is Trey with Daddy Mojo. And first up this week, we're going to kick things off with the finale of a series of graphic novels that is utterly fantastic. They're from Boom Studios, and it's the Rust series of graphic novels. This week has Volume 4, Soul in the Machine. And that kind of gives you a little insight as to where it's going. In this series, I was slow to catch on to it. I didn't catch on to it until the second graphic novel, and this is the fourth one. It's been around for about 7 years. So the first Rust graphic novel came out 7 years ago. And the reason I found it so enchanting, the second book, and I understood why it was such a thing, is it's just beautifully drawn, and it really has heart. And it sounds like such a cliche to mention, but it really is beautiful. You're trying to figure out, is this kid with the jetpack a robot, a boy? Does he really like humans? What's he doing on the farm? It's like the Rocketeer, except it's so much better. And this is a horrible way to describe it. It really is. All you can do for yourself is go online and just look at Rust. Just do a quick search for Rust graphic novel. You'll pull up some of the pages, and we're going to post some of the pages from this fourth graphic novel, Soul in the Machine, also as you read along here and on the website. Beautiful artwork, and it's stunning stuff, and the story is great. Who's going to like this? I'll say ages 9 and up, because it's going to be a little too detailed for those younger kids. Even though they can conceptually handle what's going on in the graphic novel, it may be a little too slow for them. A 9-year-old would like it, and they'd say, this is kind of left to center, but I love it. And you 11-year-old kids, you'll fall in love immediately with it. It's Rust, and I think you'll like it. If you're down with the series, you already know what I'm talking about. If not, do a quick search for the entire thing, and I think you'll find it worthwhile. This one-shot comic book has been in waiting for even longer than that. Think about how long The Simpsons have been around. And what is it, 30-some-odd years? This is Krusty the Clown, everyone's favorite clown in Springfield who is not in prison. This is a one-shot comic book, so this is one and done, boom. And they readily acknowledge this on the cover of the comic book. It says, hey kids, it's the big first and last issue. It's Krusty the Clown, issue number one. It's $3.99. It's from Bongo Comics, and it is in the same vein of Simpsons comics. Have you picked up an issue of Simpsons comics? If not, that comic book is going to be great for ages 6 and up. This one may be just a little bit older, just because Krusty is, he lives up to his name. He's a little bit crusty. Sometimes he'll smoke. Sometimes he'll do other things, and his companion in this comic book is Mr. Teeny. His chimpanzee, who can't talk. And the whole thrust of Krusty the Clown, this one shot, is that he is in Springfield alone. There's nobody else there. And he can't figure out where everyone is. So what's going on there? And there are some hilarious one-liners. And if you're a fan of Simpsons comics, this is right up your alley. It's Krusty the Clown. We liked this miniseries when it came out. It's soft, really strange, and quite beautiful. It's Capture Creatures. Capture Creatures, it was a miniseries that came out from Boom Studios, I think, last spring. And it's now in a trade paperback, so it's collecting all of the series, all of the comic books that were in that miniseries. And when you look at the cover to Capture Creatures, you immediately say, that looks like a little Pikachu, except more of like a lemur Pikachu. So that is kind of who is going to be great for this. The kids who are down with strange, alien creatures, thus the name capture creatures, except don't misinfer that capture creatures, oh, you got to catch them all? Is that the way it works? No, it's not like I got to catch them all thing. This is more just kind of a mysterious, soft world where lots of creatures live with powers, and now these creatures are on Earth, and it's up to two teens to keep all these creatures a secret. Got it? I liked this miniseries, and this is a really cool trade paperback. It's going to be great for Middle Earth kids also, as well as you Pokemon kids. It's Capture Creatures. This is a trade paperback, and it's going to retail for $15. Buy it through the links, and it'll be just over $13. Normally, when we talk squirrels here on the podcast, we talk Squirrel Girl because she's unbeatable and she's awesome. This week, though, we're talking another squirrel. It's Sammy, the Samurai Squirrel. You haven't heard of this squirrel, you say? Sammy, the Samurai Squirrel, is from Action Lab Entertainment, and this is ridiculously cute on a lot of levels, and a very surprising level, too. This is from Scott McMahon, and when you look at the cover to it, you say, Scott McMahon, but it looks very Art and Franco-ish also. Art and Franco, their fingerprints are great, and they are on a lot of all-age comic books. It's quite indelible, too. Their style and the way they present things, the way they draw things, and the way they tell stories, you can tell an Art and Franco joint just by looking at it. However, when you look at Sammy the Samurai Squirrel, it looks a little different, and that is where the influence of Scott McMahon comes in, because it's kind of his baby. But this graphic novel also has an original story by Art and Franco, as well as some art from them. So you can kind of see their fingerprints in there, but it's not an Art and Franco joint. Because I know some people, they get kind of burned out on Art and Franco because their fingerprints are so strong and indelible. Sometimes they just want to get away from it for a little bit. And this is your chance with Sammy the Samurai Squirrel from Action Lab Entertainment. And it really is what it is. I mean, a squirrel is her homeland, it's destroyed by evil things. So she has to go to Woodbriar, where she quickly discovers that Woodbriar also has some evil things. So she has to enact her samurai skills, and chaos ensues. It's good samurai action. Think of it as a really all-ages Usagi Yojimbo. That's one way to think of it. Where the ninjas are now replaced by skunks and squirrels and bunnies. And who will love this? I will say kids as young as 5 and up, for example. Our 6-year-old would love this. He couldn't read this, per se. He could read some of the sight words, but he couldn't read all of it. The content, if you're going to say, hey, here's a graphic novel, check it out and read it, going to be great for ages 8 and up. They'll be able to read it from the get-go and love it and laugh at it. Even our 8-year-old would like to read this, and he will. It's Sammy the Samurai Squirrel, brand new this week. You mentioned superheroes in a monthly comic. It is this title that gets the most press, or the most adage, in the elementary school circuit. It is Teen Titans Go, issue 26. It's out this week. The movie comes out later, and the trailers, I love the way they're presenting this, because they're doing the movie exactly like the television show, which for us is great, because the 8-year-old and the 6-year-old, they love Teen Titans Go, and it seems like it's going to be right on par with that. Maybe a low PG-13 or a high PG. Either way, I think they'll be cool with it. And Teen Titans Go, the comic book, it's out this week, issue 26. Bonus, if you've never seen the comic book and only the cartoon, this is only $2.99, so it's really affordable. It's packed with action, packed with laughs. If you love the cartoon, you will love this comic book, because most people are coming from the cartoon to the comic book, despite the fact that the comic book kind of started first. Ironic that. Teen Titans Go 26. A superhero title that aims a little bit higher than that, actually a couple years higher, and is flying just under the radar, but is great. It's this one. It's Future Quest Presents, issue number 7. It's out this week, and the full title is Future Quest Presents, because what it is, Future Quest Presents will shake up who they have and who they highlight every 3 or 4 issues, depending upon how the story is going. In issue number 7, they look at Birdman. And you say, who, Birdman? I've seen that. Okay, yeah, it looks kind of like Hawkman kind of thing. Yeah, that guy. And that's what is so neat about this series, Future Quest Presents, is that it takes a look at some superheroes that we know, and we being, I guess, the greater cultural good, we know, but we don't really know anything about them. For example, the first 3 or 4 issues from this anthology looked at Space Ghost, who people know Space Ghost just because, Space Ghost, I know that cat. But we don't really know anything about his superpowers, his lineage. We just know Space Ghost, the brand. Issue 7 takes a look at Birdman and his story. And we're kind of jumping in mid-series on this. So if you want to pick up Future Quest Presents Issue 6, you can catch the first chapter in this story with Birdman, because you got giant monsters. You've got some cool things that middle school kids who want superhero action that's realistically drawn and in a fabulously story told, that's what this is, without it being kind of babied down or dumbed down, without the more gratuitous things that Batman or Superman may encounter. I sounded really like a parent then, but you parents know what I'm talking about, especially if you've seen some of the older DC titles like Batman or Superman, where it's like, what? Come on. You don't need this in the comic book to be awesome. Future Quest Presents number 7, though, is awesome. And what it does successfully is it's great for those middle school kids, but it's also great for those middle school kids and up without dumbing down the action. Boom. Drop mic. Metaphorical. Are you on Twitter? Please come by and say hello. It's at Daddy Mojo. Oh, and by the way, giveaway over on the YouTube channel. We're giving away a copy of Daddy's Home 2. It's a prize pack that has the Blu-ray DVD, T-shirt, a coffee mug, hot chocolate, and lots of other stuff. We're giving that away. It ends on March 6. To enter, all you have to do is leave a comment in the video on YouTube, and you're in it. Good luck. Speaking of lottery, and a group that really won, it's this one. They have never had a graphic novel up until then, despite being arguably the most influential rock band in the world. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the Beatles, of course. The Beatles have never had a graphic novel. Never. This is the first one. It costs just under $18. And this was originally published from a UK magazine called Look In. And I guess it was little snippets, little stories every month in Look In. And now it's compiled in a graphic novel for the first time and released here in the States as well as other places. And this charts the Fab Four. It charts them from soup to nuts. Charts how they met. It charts their early gigs all the way through the Abbey Road album and their breakup. So it is from when Paul and John met, to where they met Ringo, and when they broke up, as well as Harrison. Great stuff. And the art in this is, it's realistic. I mean, this is a really properly drawn graphic novel. So who will like this? You know what? Middle schoolers might like it if they're music school kids. However, for the most part, I'll say it's going to be upper middle school and older. I would love to see this. It is the Beatles' story. This is an original graphic novel from Arthur Ranson and Angus P. Allen. And it looks beautiful, the pages I've seen. There's a category of comics that I don't really talk about too much because they're really difficult to describe. I'll call them life comics. And that, what does that mean, life comics? That means they're not intended to be funny on the whole, and they're not intended to be very scientific-y or science fiction-y or anything like that, or action-y. They're more about life and the things that young adults or kids will encounter. Two titles right now that really own that category of life comics, even though they may skew a little bit towards the humor or the science fiction angle, more on that in a moment, are these two. Fence. Fence is a new series from Boom Studios that is about the world of fencing. It concentrates on Nicholas. He's kind of an upstart outsider kid who gets on the fencing team for essentially a prep school called King's Row. And it's about his struggle to fit in with the team and to fit in with how they do things at King's Row. And a fencing team, really? They exist? Because we don't have kids in high school, but they do. Our babysitter is on the fencing team at her high school. So the niche, the age range, and those folks who are going to be interested in fence, it's really targeted, I think, to, again, those upper middle school through high school kids that want to read about life and kids that are doing things that they're doing and how they handle it. Peer pressure and making the team, getting the date. Does she like me? Does she like him? Does she like she? All this other stuff. It's Fence, issue number 4. It's out this week. And it's going to be, again, appropriate for upper middle school and up. Another one that skews a little bit younger is this one. It's the Archies. Archies, issue number 5. Archie and Riverdale, they've got a couple incarnations out there. This is the Archies that concentrates specifically on the band, the Archies. What's neat about this issue number 5 is it features the guest stars of Tegan and Sarah. Tegan and Sarah, the indie pop queen group from Canada, who are also twins. I was trying to fit in twins before there also. And you've heard their songs, you know them, and they're all very catchy songs, but they're featured in this comic book. And this comic book, issue number 5, it takes place immediately after the Archies, the band, took a time trip back to the 60s. But the Archies are now back to 7 days. They're back to the present day timeline. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the 70s, and you just have to talk that way, kids. There you are. So the Archies has a bit more of a kind of a loosey-goosey science fiction vibe than a true life comic, as it were. So it's because of that fact, it's going to skew a little bit younger. I'll call it middle school and up for the Archies, very similar to Riverdale, the comic book. So if you're down with that or you like music and you're in a group, you're saying a middle school band and you're wanting to, you know, read some pseudo-realistic stories that may help you and figure out, you know, what's fun as well as be ridiculously entertaining and see Tegan and Sarah in comic book form, this is your joint. It's the Archies, issue number 5. And, spoiler alert, one member from the group quits in this issue. Can't tell you who, but one of them quits for real. It's Trey with Daddy Mojo.
Thanks for listening to Daddy Mojo. Be sure to tune in next time. For more information on any of the things we talked about today, just check out the website, daddymojo.net, or hit us up at Daddy Mojo on social media.